Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On today's podcast, my guest is Adam Richard, returning to discuss the new Marvel movie, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. My name is Justin Hamilton, and I've always said only the most broken people can be great leaders, here on Big Squid. Hello, and thank you for joining me today for this podcast. Adam Richard is back after being on this week's Chitter Chatter, and we are discussing Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, a movie that was in pre-production when the awful news that Chadwick Boseman had died. It's interesting. It's one of those things where I wonder if people keep that front of mind. Can you imagine having something prepared and then finding out the tragic news that not only someone that you care about and someone that you have a great relationship with has died, but also the fact is whatever you were working on revolved around that person. It's a very difficult thing to reverse engineer. And Ryan Coogler has said, and this was a direct quote, he was unaware of Boseman's condition and had begun preparing, imagining and writing words for him to say that were meant to be in the film and we weren't destined to see. I said that was a direct quote. I added a little bit there just so you understood that I was talking about the film. But you get the gist. And with that in mind, this Marvel movie held a very different type of interest for me. As you are probably aware, I have lost a lot of interest in superhero films in general, to the extent that I would go as far as saying that they make me quite angry. I can't believe that this is how I feel about a genre that I loved ever since I was a kid, but they just feel emotionally stunted, and they seem to have cookie cutter action scenes. And, you know, I guess, and I've banged on about this before, when I was, you know, like a teenager reading comics, I was getting stuff written by Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman and Grant Morrison and Pete Milligan and all of those great UK writers and, you know, some of the American writers. Early Frank Miller was quite fantastic as well. But, you know, they were doing different things within the medium, and it's been frustrating to see as it broadens out and becomes more popular as a medium, less risks are taken. And so I felt very confident going into this film, mainly because Coogler has a level of class and dignity that I believe comes out in all of his work. And it's interesting that when you listen to this discussion with Adam, I was very much in the minority. Like, the people that I went with, everyone was panicking all the way through the film. I did not panic at any point. I felt very confident that this was going to be a respectful film, and I thought it was going to approach things in a way where it wasn't taking advantage of the real-life tragedy to tell a story in a very safe medium. And to be honest, I had that confidence completely rewarded. I don't think this movie is flawless, but I think under the circumstances, it's a pretty outstanding achievement. And even some of the flaws that we talk about with Adam, you know, like, we deliberately recorded the podcast a day later. I didn't want to do a hot take on this film. I explained that a little bit later. And we recorded this 24 hours ago, this chat. And, you know, it's a few days later. And any kind of issues or flaws that I thought that the movie might have in its DNA, I just kind of don't give a shit. I think all the positivity around it and all the other decisions that were made, I think they completely and utterly outshine anything that feels like it's a bit clunky. Or, you know, the worst thing that you can say about this film for me is the introduction of a character that is, you know, a little bit shoehorned. But once again, they had to change direction very late in the process. And to do that, they had to completely introduce a whole part of the story that was not there, and that is the grief of losing someone. And also, while they're doing that, they're fucking sad, you know. Like, I think people forget that. Like, you can be a fan and you can complain, oh, they should have recast T'Challa, or, you know, they should have done this and they should have done that. Oh, I'm sad I like that actor. Oh, I'm sad I like that character. Hey, you know what, they were friends with him. They knew him. So not only was that an actor that they liked, not only was that a character that they liked, that was their friend. And I just feel like some of the stuff that I'm reading online absolutely fails to take that into account. Oh, shit, sorry. What an idiot I am. Of course people online are only thinking about themselves. Oh, Hammo. Why are you so dumb sometimes? It's always about the individual, not about other people. Boo. Anyway. I've got to be honest, it's just great seeing all these fantastic women just be fucking badasses on the big screen as well. That is great. Anyway. Before we bring Adam in, when you sign up to Patreon and become a member of the Big Squid community, you have an episode of the podcast dedicated to you, along with access to ad-free podcasts, bonus podcasts, scripts, works in progress, and discounted tickets to live events. Today's shout-out goes to Melissa Slee. Hi, Mel. Thanks for joining us here. I hope you enjoy this chat with Adam, and if you're a Marvel fan, I hope you enjoy this film. And if you are not necessarily a fan of superhero movies, then maybe this chat will inspire you at some point to check this film out. Maybe at the cinema, maybe at home. But yeah, maybe we will entice you. But either way, thank you for being a part of our Patreon. And, you know, shit's about to get nerdy, so strap yourself in. You're about to hear two nerds in their natural habitat. If you'd like an episode dedicated to you, as well as access to the bonus Big Squid work, head to patreon.com/JustinHamilton_Big Squid, and you can find a tier that suits you. All the money that goes to this podcast gets funneled back into the production. So thank you to all of you who have signed up over the past year. A quick reminder also to my Melbourne friends, my new solo show Little Victories will be appearing at Comedy Republic on the 26th of November, right in time for you to find a safe place to avoid the state election. Yep, that's right. I haven't performed in Melbourne for years, and I'm performing on the very night that there's a state election. So tickety-boo. What amazing timing. My listeners can buy tickets at comedy.com.au. Just head over there, click on my tile, use the promo code podcast, and you will get money off your ticket purchase. Make sure you do that. You're a listener of this podcast. take advantage of the sweet discount coming this way. Okay, let's get into this chat with Adam Richard. Before we go any further, warning, there are spoilers all the way through this podcast. Spoilers. Just one more time, because as some of you have stated recently on my Patreon, it's really easy to lose focus and miss important parts of a chat. So in big size, 48 fonts, Helvetica, let's make it dramatic. There are spoilers on their way. This is a film about a great nation. It is haunted by the absence of its leader, who has succumbed to a terrible disease. And in the process, everyone who's left behind must do what they can to not only pick themselves up, but also find a way to move forward as a nation. But there is a problem. It seems that there is another place out there, somewhere out in the sea, hidden deep down in the depths, not just of the ocean, but also in history as well. And their leader is a strong leader, and their leader wants to make a splash. I just thought of that then. I thought I'd throw it in for you. This is a movie about grief. This is a movie about sorrow. This is a movie about looking at the other and finding common ground. And this is about overcoming rage and disappointment and anger to become a leader in your own right. Let's talk now about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. We've done Marvel movies in the past, and we often record straight after the film, but I thought this was a different film. I didn't want to have a quick take on it. I didn't want to have a hot take. I wanted to sit in this film. I think this is a very different Marvel film for incredibly obvious reasons. So to sit on it for 24 hours and then have a chat felt like it was showing the movie the respect that it deserves in the long term because of everything that's gone down with it. I really enjoyed it when I came out of it, and I've thought about it a lot since. How are you feeling from first watch to this morning?
Look, I enjoyed it at the time, and there's still a lot that I liked. I think there's just a lot of the Marvelness that, you know, tends to poison the waters a bit, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not talking about the source material, which is, you know, also slightly problematic. but the, just kind of the thing.
Hang on, sorry. What do you mean by that? Do you mean
Oh, like, you know, just the original Black Panther was entirely created by white people.
Oh, sure. Well, but, you know, at the time it was
groundbreaking. It was groundbreaking. And they've since, you know, kind of changed course and let other voices into the into the bullpen.
Well, these are very much movies influenced by the run by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Christopher Priest and people like that.
But, yeah, so it's just, you know what it is? I think it's the whole Riri Williams thing felt kind of shoehorned in to an extent.
Yes.
Like, I was like, imagine that was Martin Freeman's character. Like, you would have more, like, you would feel like there was sort of a connection. It's like, of course they're trying to save him. They, you know, have got a history with him. They joke about him being a colonizer and he's, you know, he's part of the story from before instead of some new character we need to set up for a TV series in 6 months' time needs to suddenly be the entire fulcrum of the story. And it's like, there was just a... There were a lot of people sacrificing things for someone you barely knew, which, you know, sometimes can be a great beat. But, yeah. Also, like, you know, I thought they could have done the same thing with, like, Belle's character. Like... Mm-hmm. That was sort of a wasted use of her. Like, she's one of my favorite actors, and she just turned up, pressed some buttons, screamed a bit, and then disappeared. But they're just kind of like, they're the things that have kind of impacted my enjoyment of it over time. Mm. But I still really enjoyed it as a piece of cinema, as a fun outing kind of thing.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like The Marvel side of things were the weaker side.
Mm.
And the actress who played Riri Williams, who, by the way, is a character who is so brand new, I'm kind of only across her adjacently, you know. Yeah.
She barely exists on my radar.
Yeah. But I thought the actress was quite good. I thought she did quite a bit with not a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. That, to me... While I didn't really have a problem with it, that was the weakest part of the film. A movie that's quite long.
And just because, you know, it's the stakes that they're fighting over and you're like, well, what are these stakes? They seem to be, and just, you know, ludicrous kind of leaps of logic of like, how does she not know that the thing she's doing at uni is being used in, you know, at the bottom of the ocean has been built by someone? Like, it just seems very... There was some connective tissue that didn't seem to really connect anything.
Yeah. I kind of give it a bit of a pass, though, because we know for a fact that the movie had been written and had started pre-production when Chadwick Boseman died. Yeah, I think this is, in many ways, and I actually mean this as a compliment, but I think this is the Dark Knight Rises of the Marvel Universe in that the story had to change course. No matter what the team Nolan says, they had plans for the Joker. They had plans to bring Heath Ledger back or they would have killed him off at the end.
Yeah.
And a lot of that story had to change. That was a movie that I think gets underestimated because I think that movie is saturated with grief and it's to me, incredibly present because that character's not mentioned at all and that leaves a big gaping hole in it, whereas this kind of goes the opposite route. This leans into it, which I quite like. So some of the little things like, you know, Riri Williams, I wonder if there was more with her, even if it's a mandate from above, maybe she got more breathing space when you didn't have to incorporate a new storyline, which is the grief of T'Challa dying and it's the grief of Chadwick Boseman dying. I think a lot of people kind of forget, you know, this morning I listened to some podcasts and just did a quick bit of reading to see where people were at. Mm. And it's like, does anyone realize that Ryan Coogler is grieving as well?
Yeah.
when they're criticizing it? It's like, they're sad in the real world.
Yeah. That was, I mean, look, I think, speaking of being sad in the real world, I read a really interesting tweet from James Gunn, of all people, who was grieving the loss of Kevin Conroy, the voice actor in the Batman video games and cartoons and a lot of stuff. And someone had just tweeted off the back of it, fucking James Gunn, and then just hashtag restore the Snyderverse and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
God.
He's just like really polite, and he said, look, I understand some people don't pick up on signals, don't understand things, but this is a message of grief. This is a message of, you know, I'm upset about something, and I don't think what you've written here is appropriate in the circumstance kind of thing. And I'm just like, that is the most polite way to deal with someone who's being a complete dickhead.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I feel like this, you know, there are the kind of grief moments in this, like the homage they kind of pay to Chadwick Boseman is beautiful. Like, you know, the opening credits moment, which is silent. The kind of flashbacks at the end were beautiful. Sorry if I've spoiled anything for anyone.
No. I am in ultimate Nolan fashion. I will record the intro to this later, and I will be saying that there will be spoilers, so yeah, they already know.
So yeah, I loved all that kind of stuff, but I was terrified. Like, I trusted Ryan Coogler as a director to do the right thing.
Yes.
But I was terrified that something would happen in the post-production that he was probably not in charge of, and someone would stick something terrible in, that there would be some kind of gross moment that overstepped, you know, the kind of gentle way that they'd approach this, which happens. Like, you know, I read that the Kenneth Branagh Thor movie, they tried to change all his Dutch angles to be straight. Like, you know, and it's just like this, they have this kind of overarching, you know, mono vision for the Marvel things that they kind of end up flattening everything out.
Yes.
In a terrible way.
Well, you know, I understand your fear, but I deep down knew that wasn't going to happen. And you know why? Because how are you going to get away with being a white man imposing your view on a black man's movie about a black man's death?
Like, I get that.
Fuck, roll the dice on that one, Kevin Feige. Like,
but it was just a fear. It was a constant fear of, like, and also I had this other thing, like, and I know this happens with grief just in general, where I kept expecting him to turn up in a routine, like, you know, he'd moved on from the role. I'm like, no, he hasn't. Like, it was just like this thing. Oh, are they going to show a scene with him? I'm like, no. Like, you know, it was just a constant narrative in my head. Like, he can't have filmed anything. Like, I told them he was unwell. He just, you know, he passed away, and that was the end of that. And, like, so it was just this constant. And I feel like that scene with Michael B. Jordan was what they would have done if he'd just left, or if he'd been let go or whatever. You know, it was just a weird kind of situation. Like, because he was so young. Yeah, it was a really strange.
If there are any therapists listening to this, I need to point out that the group of people that we saw this with all had the same fear, and I never had this.
Oh,
and I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. When you guys started talking about that fear, I was genuinely, really? I just had total trust in Coogler. Like, I guess I had all my focus was on him, and the rest of you were worried about Marvel, and I think they are both correct.
And I guess, you know, the Marvel things that were kind of jammed in there were kind of ugly in and of themselves. You know, there's like, I weirdly bumped into a friend after we went for a walk on the way to the movies. I bumped into a friend who'd just seen it. And I was like, how did you feel about
it? Must have been at an 8 a.m. session, because this movie goes a long time.
Oh, no, they'd been on the week, like a day or two before. Okay. and he, I was like, how did you feel about it? And he was like, he goes, I enjoyed it mostly, but there's just a whole bunch of things that kind of, I was like, are these unresolved? And I was like, oh, yeah, they're probably TV shows that they're going to spin off. Like, you know, I had no idea, but he just felt that there were a couple of things that weren't, and I don't think he goes to see a lot of Marvel things.
Right.
It was just like, he was just like, I just didn't understand what, you know, there were a handful of things, but the rest of it, he, you know, he seemed to enjoy. But yeah, I think there are a couple of things where you're like, is that the end of that? What's going on with this other thing? Like, you know, setting up also the Thunderbolts is, a strange situation.
Well, like, do you, I didn't mind all the Julia Louis-Dreyfus stuff.
Oh, I love
like
her.
That's all worked. Yeah. That didn't bother me. Like, I wonder once again if that's because we know how Marvel works.
Yeah.
Like the Riri Williams stuff and the Ironheart stuff felt that to me felt forced. The
yes.
I wish, but once again, I think we would have gotten more of that.
Also, yeah. Just like, you know, having that whole experience with her and then getting to the end, it's like, oh, you can't take the suit. And it's like, okay, so we're going to build a third suit now.
Right. Yeah, look, I to be completely honest, but, I thought the movie was great, and I think it's the best of the Phase 4 by a country mile.
Oh, like, yeah, it's the best film they've made in a long time. Like,
because yeah.
They've been really, like, really disappointing, and almost like all of the things that I'm complaining about now are like 1% things. Like Angela Bassett, amazing.
Oh, like, yeah. Can we talk about Angela Bassett? Like, holy shit.
What a spectacular performance. Just
it's out of control. Like, it's an out of control performance when she, like, goes into
I
the
got
talk
tears
to the
in
UN.
The trailer. Like,
yes.
When watching her, like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The her talking to the UN and bringing in those captives was.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Yeah.
She is just so good. This is, you know, it's a big Marvel film that is, when they see the credits, 10 of the 12 people first mentioned are all women. And all of those women are amazing.
Yeah.
Just absolutely amazing. I like the general idea of the storyline as well. I liked the introduction of Namor. I thought Namor was fantastic. I thought he was probably more nuanced than he's ever been. I love the idea of tying it into the Aztec culture.
Yeah, yeah, the Mayans, yeah.
Yeah, the origin of their story was fantastic. And, you know, I thought, once again, in the comics, he's an anti-hero, and you can see where going forward. Well, maybe sometimes he will be on their side, and I can also see when there'll be times when he's not on their side.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
You know what I did like about that whole thing was having a scene that I feel like has been, you know, necessarily missing from the whole Black Panther thing, which is, you know, they're trying to celebrate this amazing African culture that is more advanced than anyone. And, you know, they're incredible. But, you know, there's sort of like this undercurrent of, well, how did all these other historical wrongs happen with these people in the middle of Africa who just didn't do anything about it? Like, they kind of let slavery happen around them, essentially.
Well, that's the argument of the first film, isn't it? That's the isolationism, and that's what makes Killmonger such a compelling villain, because you're sitting there a lot of the time going, well, he feels kind of right about that.
Yeah. So there's all that kind of thing. And then we see actual slavery happening with the people that Namor's people have, you know, gone back to go, the scene with him burying his mom. And it's like, oh, so these cultures have way more in common than we know. They've isolated themselves as well under the ocean, and they've gone back and gone, oh, look what's happened to our people. And have a little vengeful strike and then go back to hiding. So it's kind of a reminder that these two cultures, you know, for all intents and purposes, are, you know, the same. Like, they've both been changed by this, you know, magical MacGuffin, the vibranium.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. I liked that, you know, seeing two very different cultures, both very outside of the white mainstream, that love these films. And I thought that was fascinating, and it was just a really interesting, you know, beat to kind of go, oh, okay, we kind of avoided this a bit in the first film, but let's lean into it, you know.
Right.
Did they lean into the horrors.
Did they avoid that in the first? Like, I feel like, you know.
It was mentioned, but it was like, it was, you know, it was, there were no actual depictions of slavery. Whereas this was like, we see slaves being treated abominably.
Right, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was mentioned, but it was like, you know, with film, it's like what you show on screen. Like, you can talk as much as you like, but, you know, like when you see something, it's like, whoa, that's a real thing that happened. Yeah.
I remember a dumbass comedian that we were talking about yesterday, who I reckon is a bit of a cockhead, complaining about Black Panther, saying, am I meant to just like it because it's full of black people? And it's like,
oh no, who would say that?
Well, that cockhead that we were talking about yesterday. But But it was like...
We talked about so many cockheads.
No. It was a very specific one at the start of the morning.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah. And the fact is that you're not meant to like it because it's full of black people. You're meant to like it because it's showing you a completely different way of...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Storytelling and telling a completely different story, and they do it well. That's why you like it. It's not it's not being woke. It was really well done, and it was an insight into a culture that, for the most part, is dealt with it flippantly and on the surface. And then, you know, I thought a lot of the stuff. What I was really impressed with this film is I thought all the stuff about T'Challa was in the story earned. Mm. Every beat made sense. Every beat, nothing was squeezed for just emotional manipulation. It was, in some ways, it's a tough watch because the film is saturated with grief and sadness, you know. And then right at the end, when you go on this, I think a really interesting journey with the character of Shuri. And the fact that she comes face to face when she goes into the world of the ancestors and comes face to face with Killmonger, I was like, shit, this is fucking a level up. This is I had no idea that was coming either. And it was electric, and it was great for her when she returns. So then when you get that final battle, and because you spend so much time with Namor's people, it means when she's flashing on all the similarities between the two cultures and chooses peace in that moment. Yeah. Once again, like, we know she's going to choose that because we know how stories work, but they earned it. And so I was into it.
Also, there was, you know, because she'd seen Killmonger, there was like a fear that, oh, is she going to make the wrong choice? And it was just one of those moments I'm like, oh, no, we're too far into the film. The wrong choice would mean a whole other film to come. and a redemption film. Or, you know, does she sacrifice herself after making the wrong choice? Like, you know, it was one of those moments of like, I hope she will, I fear she won't kind of thing.
Yeah,
which is good. Which I think is great storytelling where it's like, oh, you've given us a situation where she could do something terrible. Like, she could actually, you know, do something awful. And also just like the... I love that, you know, it's a big story on a big scale. And it's, you know, sometimes they do these big stories on a big scale and it's just a couple of people sitting in a room talking about the big scale. Or you get a lot of big stuff happening that's done in CGI and you're just like, I don't have any kind of connection to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about, oh, if you kill him, then we're going to be at war forever.
Yes.
Like, this will just be an ongoing war. Like, think twice before you do what you think you should do. Yes, he killed our queen, but, you know, like, vengeance is just going to turn into war. Like, that's... Yeah, it was like, I kind of loved that. And also showing so many innocent people on both sides and those people who would be caught up in a war. And you're like, bleh. Also because, you know, I'm sure this was not intended, but, you know, we're now in a state of war. And we're seeing that kind of thing frequently on the telly. So it's, it's one of those things where you're like, well, maybe making those decisions is... the wrong, like, you can make a wrong decision there. It was, I kind of loved that part of it, like, but I did get a bit frustrated at the end with, you know, one thing that drives me crazy with Marvel movies is, like, I get that you have a full face costume because it's easier to computer animate,
right,
than having a human face.
Yeah.
But why do they all peel off at the moment someone has to have a chat? Like, just leave it on sometimes. Like,
oh,
just...
yeah. Like, that's been my frustration with pretty much every superhero movie, because, yeah, like, going right back where, you know, how many people should know that Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man? Like, he was taking his mask off at the top of buildings when there were quite clearly other buildings around that were much higher.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's... So you can get those emotive moments, but that drives me a bit insane. And, you know, it's like, once again, too much CGI at the end. I bang on about this. But, you know, it's like the Marvel movie that I've enjoyed the most in this phase up until this one was Shang-Chi. And the problem is that he flies the luck dragon at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's the master of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Do Kung Fu. Are people not going to be excited? I say this, I ask this legitimately. Are people not going to be excited by a 25-minute, beautifully choreographed fight scene with real people getting hit?
Yeah, and one of the veterans of Hong Kong cinema who can play that better than he can probably play being attacked by a giant dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the difference between, you know, Logan, which was great, and the Wolverine, which was almost great, and the difference was he goes up, that last part of the film should have been...
stupid samurai business.
Yeah. It should have been him for 25 minutes fighting 100 ninjas in the snow.
Yeah, and that, if you're going to bring in the Silver Samurai, just a normal-sized one, in a suit.
Just in a normal suit. It'll be great.
We don't need Voltron, Super Samurai.
Like, it was out of control. But, you know, like, you look at Danai Gurira. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Danai Gurira. Yeah.
Like, the best scene, the best action scene in the movie is when she goes up. It's her Batman Bane moment when she goes up against a tumor. And that is, like, she is out of control. Like, she is so good.
She's great.
Let her cook.
Even that cute scene at the start with Michaela Cole and her little knives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are some great scenes and Lupita Nyong'o turning up. Because I was like, oh, she's not in it. And I thought she was in it. Oh, well, that's sad.
I was getting very upset for a moment because it was taking a long time to get to her. And I love her so much.
And that little reveal of her in the mid-credit sequence was kind of cute.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I think that was the emotional moment I felt like I almost had a few times during the film. But, you know, every time I felt like I was getting close to feeling like something, it would kind of be pulled away by, you know, some weird Iron Man lady, you know, terrible suit designs, but that moment was just like, oh, okay, I'm gonna tip the bridge now. But I think Ludwig Göransson's music was amazing, the most inspired music I've heard in a Marvel movie for a long time, because they're, you know, for about the first 10 of their films, the music is just, like, it could be anything. Like,
oh, it's dire.
Yeah, it's just ordinary.
Yeah.
I think Alan Silvestri's Avengers is the first time any, like, there's even an attempt at doing some sort of theme.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But
the music in this is fantastic. Once again, never overpowering, always in conversation with the cinematography, which I thought was, once again, you know, it's a shame that the Marvel way of getting CGI done, which is as quickly as possible,
lets down cheaply,
which lets down some quite beautiful cinematography in this film as well.
I mean, you just need to look at, like, say, looking at The Batman, which the... you know, Academy Award winning cinematographer on that, was talking about how he used the, you know, that thing they call the volume, that virtual cinema thing,
yep,
where they act in front of screens. Like he said, I just use it occasionally, very sparingly, but like, you know, when they're on top of the building and having a chat, he's like, you have to, that takes like 4 weeks to film because sunset lasts a very short amount of time. But when you've got like a, you can have a CGI sunset, it's like, cool, we can be here all day.
Yeah.
In a studio, it's fine. People think it's outside. Yeah. Whereas Marvel tend to do everything on a green screen.
Yeah.
And think they can comp it in later. And yeah, that can be a little frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's what adds to this this flatness that
yeah.
you get in a lot of these films, and which is a bummer, especially with all the beautiful colours in this film and the beautiful costumes, and you know, you do get glimpses of it when it's just allowed to be shot.
Yeah, and that's another thing I found weird was, so again, this is the weird Marvelness of the overarching many film and, you know, the Marvel Universe impinging on this film, which is that obviously the production designer has done an amazing job with the world of Wakanda
yeah.
and
yeah.
the, you know, the various costumes and everything. And it felt like the Ironheart thing was not, like, it felt jammed in even visually. It was like visually right. discordant to everything. It's like, you've built this in Wakanda.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you're hammering out a piece of metal.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't this be as elegant and as in tune with nature as the rest of the film? Like, just that glorious, you know, their mechanism they use to open the big gates, which is to beat some drums into a puddle of water. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't even know how that works, but I love it. It looks yeah. incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything feels organic and kind of, you know, harmonious. And then it's like, I just got the impression, like, that whoever was the production designer on this was, had that costume imposed on them. It just felt right. like discordant with the how beautiful the rest of the film is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no, that, and that's why, you know, that part of the story, even though that actress is good, and I think she has really good rapport with all of the other actors in the film,
yeah.
that bit is, once again, it's the one part that you're like, well, this is a long film. You've done a pretty good job of not imposing too much Marvel on it. Like,
No end credit sequence. Like, there's great. No teaser to another movie. Like, it yeah. just ends when it ends. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, the rumor was that the Lake Bell part was meant to be larger. And
right.
and you were going to get an after credits scene where she was working for someone else and she was going to be reporting back to that person, and that person was trying to manipulate these two places to go to war against each other.
Right.
And that person was, I think the implication was going to be Doctor Doom in right. that area.
Right.
So who knows if that was the initial idea. You know, that they were working towards. Like, once again, so much of... And this is why I kind of give some of these criticisms a pass, because they were changing things on the fly and having to put extra stuff in. But, you know, that's quite clearly a battle between Black Panther and Namor at the end.
Yeah.
And Shuri has a very... Maybe she does have an aggressive arc, but it's, you know... It comes to a conclusion in a different way. There's it would be interesting to know where it went, but once again, I just kind of felt like everything was earned. I also, getting back to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I was glad that it turned out she was being manipulative the whole time,
mm-hmm.
because one of my criticisms with these films is often someone acts out of character and you go, well, you're meant to be this master planner, or you're meant to be this master at this or master at that. And then you've just done something to move the storyline along. But this time it was like, nope, she was on top of it and she was taking advantage of the situation.
And she was really funny. Like,
really funny.
And, you know, and that's another thing. Like, I know one of our compatriots was excited that this wasn't full of quips. Like, it wasn't, you know, which... I think maybe they'd overused them a bit in the last Thor movie and were like, maybe.
Oh, yeah. You know, Doctor Strange, I felt like that thing was chock full of the quips as well. And, you know, once again, you know, the Spider-Man movie, and it's right at the end and, you know, still feels a bit strange. It's like, that. Why is this happening? Why is this line happening here?
Yeah, whereas, I mean, Coogler kind of didn't let many through in the first Black Panther. So I was, I was kind of confident that we wouldn't be seeing many. Also, I love that, you know, he wrote this film as well as directed it. Like, it was, you know, for the most part, it was his creation.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I do like that rather than it being just avoiding grief, it has just kind of leaned into it. And some great performances from many great actors in playing those scenes, which was, and because you were a whole nation of people grieving, it's like, it's
and trying to celebrate it. I like, you know, they don't go out of their way to explain what's happened. Something's he's gotten something wrong with him. Shuri tries to save him.
Yeah,
it doesn't work. It's okay. Let's now let's explore that, and you know, the scene. Also, once again, as soon as we got to that after credit scene, I was like, "Oh, that's right." Angela Bassett was just about to tell Shuri that the Queen was about to tell Shuri, you know, you have a nephew before, and didn't get the opportunity. So when, you know, when Toussaint is saying, "Oh, hey, we, you know, you have a nephew," yes, the Queen did know, and she was about to tell her. So, and that, Jesus shit, that fucking kid.
Oh, it's so cute.
It was out of control how cute he was. God,
he was adorable. I, you know, another thing I loved was the funeral ritual. Like, just a really beautiful, and for a movie that, yes, goes for too long, and there are many scenes that I'm like, I could lose at least half an hour, but I did not want to lose a single second of that very long funeral ritual, because it was beautiful. Like, everyone's in white. Like, I'm like, what a great choice. Like, to kind of, it felt celebratory. It was amazing. And then you have it again kind of echoed later on, and you're like, oh, they would have done all that again.
I forget where I read this or heard this, because, as I said, I just was curious to just check in on a few podcasts that I like and read a few reviews. Nothing major. I just wanted to run my eyes over them. But so I forget where this came from, but someone said that this family is now the Kennedys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, they really are, aren't they? They've lost the dad. Yeah. They've lost the son, they've lost the mother now, and now it's just Shuri. One quick thing to finish off on, just because this is more nerdy, and as I said, I took a lot from the film, and you know, like, I think it is a bit of a I think it is a bit of a tricky watch, because you are bringing real world into this made up world, and then this made up world you know, discusses that in a very respectful and earned way. But what's fascinating to me is that we all got out and we all discussed the film and the bits that we liked and the bits that maybe we were, you know, worried about and blah, blah, blah. There's a point where Namor just says that he's a mutant. And what I really like about this is that none of us even thought to bring it up. Like, it wasn't until about 8:30, 9 o'clock last night when I was pottering about the house that I was like, oh, that's interesting. No one mentioned that.
Oh, I'm just glad we didn't see it at one of those stupid screenings with lots of Marvel bros, because there would have been a raucous cheer at that moment.
Yes!
Mutant! Yes! X-Men! Ah! Oh, and then there would have been hubbub, 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 and I would have wanted to stab somebody. So, I'm glad you chose a relatively quiet cinema for us to go and see it.
there was a particular reason that I looked. I saw the time, and then I looked through the sessions, and I went, "There's not many people at that session. That's the one we're going to." But it'll be interesting to see, you know, when they bring mutants into the Marvel universe. Is it are they all the bastard children of Namor who's been around since? Was he going up under the land and just getting it on? Or
he's got a very, very stacked bathing suit, so there's a lot to impart.
Well, you know, he's a good-looking cat, and no CGI needed there. Like, thank goodness this wasn't in 3D.
Can I tell you one thing that really drove me crazy?
Yeah,
was the subtitles were weirdly inconsistent. Like, just like at one point they were unreadable because they'd fallen off the bottom of the screen.
Oh yes,
they
yes.
were kind of moving around all over the place. Like sometimes the fonts were different. I was like, "What is going on here?"
Well, the fonts were different when it was his language, and
oh, I got that right. part of it. But like
yeah. different sizes,
that was,
though.
That was just the colors of them. Like they were just using yes. different colors. But one time it was a completely different font, and I'm fonts. Like, "What is this now?" Like.
Like, that is, that's the Marvel machine. Hey, we've got to get this out. Yeah, but that's Helvetica, and we've had Ariel for most yeah. of the film. No one will notice. Ha, are you kidding?
Yeah.
The one that drove me nuts was the one where the credit was mildly off the screen, and it was like, I thought, you know, so I initially thought that my posture had fucked off, and I'd slipped
yeah,
down
I
into my seat.
Too.
So I sat up and was like, no.
Oh, no, it's being projected onto the carpet on the bottom of
That's so weird. Like, that is so weird.
Like, there's a... Yeah. It was just... And just, they kind of, you know, they were in a set space. Like, it's just a weird design choice. Yeah. I found it very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. What a bizarre choice. But anyway, the movie, like as I said, I think it's the best by far of the latest phase. Once again, at least it has something to say, mm-hmm.
which is more than you can say for a lot of those films.
Oh, like so many of those. Like, you know, having come out of the concussion protocols after seeing Black Adam, which is about a ruler coming back to a kingdom that has been run into the ground, and it's like Black Adam is the anti-Black Panther. That's what they should have called it. We're just going to take some of these ideas and kind of touch on them.
Have you podcasted about the Black Adam? Or
no, I can't be fucked. Like, I just, like, I was so tired afterward. I just drop it into other podcasts. Like, these are my little Hammo Easter eggs.
Hammo Easter eggs.
And I let the listeners just piece it together on their own. And they go, oh, yeah, nah, he hated it.
Because we were meant to podcast about it. And
oh, then, I couldn't do it to you.
And then you said, like, I was coming back from Melbourne on a flight. And I was like, oh, I can just go straight to the cinema and watch it. And we can talk after it. And you were like, don't do it. Don't. It's horrible.
Yeah. But you're saying that quickly, but I was so concussed. That took me an hour to write that text message. And it was like six words. I hated it so much.
It's too noisy and I don't know what happened.
I just don't know. I'm like exhausted. Who was the winner of the film for you? Was there anyone who stood out?
Like, I loved everyone. Yeah. Like, I think everyone's great in it. But
I think Letitia Wright, you know.
She's really good. Yeah. You know, leading a film that she was not meant to lead.
Yeah.
Realistically. But I just... Look, Angela Bassett is just...
Mate.
I know she's only in like a third of the movie. But just every scene is electric. Like,
a third of the movie's still over an hour.
Yeah, that's true. But
yeah,
just,
great.
Like you say, that scene at the UN, that scene where she's furious about Shuri being taken, like...
Oh, yeah.
Just as like, you're fired.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's just, you're just like... And just that moment of, like, I've lost so much. How can you let this happen? Like, just that, like, it was a palpable moment of grief. Like, you know, she'd kind of been performative in her grief at the UN, but that was a moment where you just felt like... Oh, no, she has had a lot taken from her lately. Like, this, I can understand her just totally wanted to get rid of. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think she is outstanding, and it is a powerhouse performance that, you know, at the start when she comes in and she's saying, you know, that your king is gone, you go, yeah, you are 100% feeling this. I think, do you pronounce his name Tenoch? Is that how you pronounce the actor who plays Namor? Tenoch Huerta Mejia?
I have no idea.
I think he's fantastic. I'd never seen him before, but I think he's chock
really
full
good.
Of the charisma.
Yeah.
And then just from a personal point of view, Lupita Nyong'o could just sit on a movie screen for half an hour reading a book and I'd give her all the points. So
just so compelling. Like,
yeah,
just, you know, that's one of the, I didn't love Us as a film, but I thought she was just completely, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. More of her, please. So, all right. Well, I should let you go. I said we'd do a brief chat. And after, you know what? For us, this is brief.
This is brief. This is, yeah, this is very short for us.
Yeah. We've done extremely well. So, but I would recommend seeing this movie at the cinema, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big screen movie. It is a fun 2.5 hours. And the, you know, I know I complained about some things in it, but they're minor quibbles.
Yeah.
Like, and me complaining about them now might make you, when you see it, go, what was Adam whinging about? I'm actually enjoying this a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Any negativity I have towards the film are extremely minor. I walked out of it very happy. And once again, I just think it's probably it's definitively the best film in Phase 4. And you know, who knows if Coogler will come back. He says he's put everything he had into this, and that would have been his personal grief. So if this is his swan song, I think he's gone out on top.
Yeah, I'd like to see what he does next. Like, I feel like, you know, he's been deep in franchise world, like, for 4 films.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see him, you know, get out and do his own thing now.
Like, yeah, absolutely. You've done Creed, you've done 2 Black Panther films. Now it's time to go and make your Inception or Dunkirk or whatever. Who knows? But it's something that's completely his. I'm very excited to see that. Where can people find you, Adam?
Adam Richard Has a Theory, daily podcast about Doctor Who, and, you know, my bizarre Mariah Carey podcast. Me, I am a memoir, the meaning of Mariah Carey.
Right, never. To be completely honest, everyone knows where they can find you. I just like hearing you say that title every time you're on the podcast. So,
and, you know, I'm on the Twitter and the, what's the new one? The Masturbate? No, Mastodon.
No. That's your own social media. And you're on Chitter Chatter every second Monday, which is going great. So it was Murder Bird this week.
Murder Bird.
All right, I'll let you go. Thanks, Adam.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you to Adam for joining me on the podcast today. Things were a little bit crazy this week. I've got a little bit going on, nothing bad, just kind of covering for some people in work situations and just trying to help out with that. So what I'm doing is I'm pushing our next Space Podyssey with Ben Elwood back to next week. That was meant to come out this week. That is the movie 1984. So that'll come out next week with a new Chitter Chatter. I'm also on the latest FOFOP with Will Anderson. Will brought up that somehow I predicted something quite a few years ago that I have no memory of. So that is a fun chat. There's a little bit more Black Panther talk there as well. That is actually some first thoughts that were recorded after I just came out of the cinema. So if you want to hear me giving a little hot take, nothing much has changed. I'm probably just a little bit more full of the energy as I'm talking about it. Remember, at bigsquidpod.com, you can find my blog, Dispatches from the Fury Road, and the latest beautiful tales for the disenchanted short story, Living in the Shadow of Your Song. If you'd like to support our work here, you can either sign up for the Patreon, or please leave us a top review at Apple Podcasts. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I hope it's not too dramatic or too exciting. I hope it's like just the right amount of exciting. What a fun week. Not anything more than that. Let's finish today with a quote from Ryan Coogler. Something impacts me emotionally. Art is a kind of outlet, and I figure it's the same for a lot of artists. The way my mind deals with things is cinematic. Until then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.